Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me the truth. Are you not mesmerized? Are chills not going up and down your skinny little spine?
What do you do all day? Not a goddamn thing. When was the last thing you did anything over there, that studio? Never. You never do a goddamn thing but sit around and bitch about women's genitalia. You guys are disgusting and need to get off the radio. Jake, you're fired.
Look in my eyes. What do you see?
Welcome back to the Jake Pentland Show, the latest installment. We're going to get right into it today. I realize I got to stop stammering so much in the beginning. I'd probably have a lot more listeners if I didn't. So say hello, Jen.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. And Eli, you just got here.
Yes. Hello. That's awesome.
I haven't tweeted that yet. I got the best birthday gift from my best friend in the whole world, Eli, I can't say his last name, forgot, Eli, he got me a hat that says, "Hi, I'm Mr. Awesome," on the front, and then the back it says, "I never lose."
Wow.
So I wear that now when I do the radio show. If I ever do a spreecast, you'll see it. It inspires me, along with my LA Kings cup. I'm all in winter gear, surrounded by a winter soul. But anyway, I just want to say hi. Eli, before we get going, I don't want to get too much detail about our awesome man day yesterday because I worked till 6 p.m. and didn't give us a lot of time to do the things that I really wanted to do, being that we didn't leave till 6 p.m.
Right.
But when we got back last night, I passed out. I was so effing tired, and I remember the phone kind of ringing and I was asleep. And I got a couple of missed calls on my phone that I checked this morning, and it was from your wife, like three times. It must have been right after we said goodbye. Mm-hmm. So I hope, I just wanted to let you know, I don't know if your phone died or she was calling to ask me something.
Yeah, it died.
Okay.
It died. I got everything squared away, though, when I returned home.
So she was a little worried that she couldn't get hold of you.
Yeah,
I feel bad.
You get all worrisome when you guys play together.
Yeah, especially me and Eli. And especially when we were out in the National Forest, I won't give it away because it's illegal, but we were shooting guns after 6 p.m. and breaking all sorts of laws because you're not allowed to do it in L.A. County. And also, we shot a life-size cardboard cutout of Justin Bieber, which apparently is also illegal in this crazy county. You can't shoot a picture of somebody. It's illegal.
Really?
Yeah. And we found that out when we were asking very slyly the gun shop owner, like, "Hey, under our breath, where can we shoot?" And we told him about the Bieber thing. And he said, "Just so you know, that's illegal. It's considered a threat to said person," which is why all those targets you see at shooting ranges are like black silhouettes or, zombies. You can't walk into a gun store and say, "I want to shoot Justin Bieber in the face," and put Justin Bieber up. It is against the law. So anyway, your wife's cool, right?
Yeah, everything was squared away. Got yelled at, got in trouble, but, you kind of have to, wait it out, let it pass. As I think Abraham Lincoln once said, "This too shall pass." So I was just counting down the seconds until it did, and it did. And from that moment on, it wasn't as big of a deal as she made it out to be.
So you just vented. Well, I can understand. And that's what my first thing when I saw this morning that I missed her calls. I was like, "Oh, my God." Because I remember your phone was dying when we were filming.
No, but I told her I was, where I was going, how long I would be there. And she was very clear, and I was very clear on her schedule. And even though the points have been conveyed, and she didn't think of the possibility that due to the remote area we were going and how much time had already elapsed, that maybe there would be a slight chance my phone would run out of battery. So I guess I should have thought, maybe I should have texted her before I predicted when my phone would run out of battery.
Sorry.
Because I didn't predict as to when the battery life would run out.
Sounds like
I got in trouble. So next time I got to look at my phone and see how much battery life I have left from each and every single outing I have with my friends.
Well, and your wife, I'm going to side with your wife on this one, I'm sorry, but it was you and I with handguns in a remote part of the forest. So she has, and she knows you and I. She's seen the way you and I just handled making dinner plans. So I'm sure she was naturally worried that we had shot each other accidentally. And second,
yeah,
you could have easily asked for my cell phone when your phone died so you can call your wife, which is what I would have done. Sorry.
Yeah, I could have done that, but at the same time, we were exhausted. There's always a text message. You know, she obviously had your number, too. I don't understand why she couldn't text message you.
Had she texted? Well, it wouldn't have mattered because I was asleep, but I felt so bad because I thought, oh, my God, you know, she thinks we shot ourselves. She can't get a hold of you. I'm not answering the phone. She calls my house. I don't answer. I would have panicked if I were her. So, anyway, that's good. We don't talk about it much more, but I'm glad you weathered the wife storm.
Yes.
That's all you got to do. Good job. How long was her venting?
And the ticket out of most wife storms, just to give you all a little advice, is just to admit you're wrong. You're such an idiot. You're so sorry. And
I do that. You're right. You're absolutely right. I do admit you're right. I'm wrong. But when I constantly say that, it's sort of like she still wants to pick a fight with me. So I realized over time that
no, you
when
sit
she
there
gets
and take the abuse for a minute, and then it's over.
But it goes a lot quicker when you're like, you're right, and then you put up a little bit of an argument, so there's some correspondence in between.
Yeah, otherwise they'll think you're faking. If you just go, you're right, then they'll go, oh, don't try that. That's manipulative.
Yeah,
that's
just too obvious.
Right.
Oh, you're so right, even though you know in the deep depths of my soul, I know you're wrong. So if I admit it in the first place, she'll be like, no, that's too easy. You're bullshitting me. And then and that's just giving it away. So
you have to act like you're angry for, like, let's say 3 minutes. And then you shift from the anger to go, you know what? You actually make a really good point. And then, okay. All right. Well, see, we learned something new today.
A few times, see?
Would that work for you, Jen, if your husband did that? Is that appropriate?
Yes. He definitely does not like to admit he messed up. So if he would, a lot of fights would end a lot faster. Because by the end, he has to admit he's wrong anyway. So why fight?
What if we're not wrong, though? What do you do?
You still have
doesn't
to be
matter.
Wrong.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, see, I can't. I'm not okay with that. If I'm not wrong,
yeah,
no.
No, I admit I'm wrong. I don't like to either. So it goes both ways.
Well, anyway, we're all alive. Neither of us shot each other. The only person that got it bad was the Justin Bieber cardboard cutout.
Which you're going to frame and put up in your office, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had put apples in front of him, so he had, like, apple holes in him, and then I got printer cartridges that we taped to him, so when you shot him, like, it shot printer ink all over him. So it's like this beautiful artistic piece. You know, it's just Justin Bieber just covered in apple and printer ink and bullet holes. And, I'm going to frame it. And you know what? It's a cool art piece, but also just the coolest thing, since we're all three of us that went are married, is, you know, when you're a man, you know, my other friend that came, he's got a kid, too. I mean, me and Eli are just married, no kids, but when we were planning this day, it was like, it was so last minute. It was like, well, you know, we have to work till 6, and then we got to get in the car and go. And it was like, well, what are our wives going to say? So we were coming up with all sorts of plans. And it was like Stand By Me. Remember in Stand By Me when they're going on the trip and they're like, you stay at my house, he's at my house. And so we started doing that, and we managed to convince all the wives, which was a coup in itself. But there was part of us that kind of started to feel guilty, and we didn't want to leave our wives, which was cool, and all that. Well, I didn't. Well, my wife was out of town, so I was fine. I could tell MJ was having trouble. But as we were going, we're like, yeah, let's do it. And we're driving. We're like, oh, traffic. And it was like this moment where I realized so much of the fun of being a kid is gone. That's what they're talking about. Because here we're like, oh, I was worried about my cats. So am I going to feed my cats? And MJ was worried about his wife and all this. And it's like we just got in the car, and then we started bitching about traffic. And then finally, you know, when we got to the place, it was like, this is what I miss so much, just being stupid. You know, I think guys just need to every once in a while just go do something entirely stupid with their friends. Yeah. I think it's really important. And that's why I'm framing the Bieber, not because I shot Bieber and thought it was funny and I hate the kid, but it represents this just great few hours where I got to be a stupid kid again with my buds. And it was fun. The whole way there and back, you know, we were playing road trip games and stuff. So it was fun. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get to the really hilarious stuff.
Yeah, where kids really get to enjoy life.
Yeah, talk about your childhood. You were going to go right into the Sandusky trial, which I have not been following, I confess. I've heard the first three things months ago, and I was like, when I heard Sandusky on Bob Costas, I said, that guy's guilty. So I knew he was guilty. I'm glad that he is, you know, has been convicted. He'll go to prison. But as far as the details and what happened, I admit ahead of time I'm a little bit shady on it because it wasn't a case that I – it's not something I really want to spend my time on. It's such a depressing thing. I mean,
it's hard to listen to.
Yeah. Child abuse is something that, you know, there's no real way to take it in to even hear it. And I couldn't imagine being a juror. Jen, I know where you're going with that. Because I said take it in yet. There is no way to take it in, literally. You're a terrible person. Remember, Jen's the one that wrote to the retarded girl that was adopted, not me.
One time, 9 years old.
So, but he is guilty, yes?
He is guilty on, 45 out of his 48 counts.
What are the first of all, what are the three he's not guilty of?
I have no idea. I know one of them was one person's account that wasn't even there. Like, even the little boy that, is it McQueary, walked in on? Just pelvic thrust in the boy's hand against the wall. I mean, you never know what's happening, I guess, there in the shower.
I think it's pretty obvious what's happening there.
Yeah, right? But, yeah, even that little boy was tried without even – I mean, that case was tried without him even being a witness. So there's a couple like that that weren't actually there that were tried, but I don't know what the actual counts were, to be honest. But
he's definitely
– oh, yeah, he's there for life. Yeah,
well, if you want to call in and talk,
the minimum would be 20.
I hope so.
But he's 70 something. So.
Well, that's mostly what we're going to talk about. I mean, I think everyone agrees the guy's guilty. Let me give the number real quick. Please call anyone if you want to talk about the Sandusky verdict. 323-417-6705. And it's not really the verdict, because I think we all agree across the board. This isn't like Ravi, where, you know, people have different opinions. I mean, I can't think of anyone that would take Sandusky's side at this point. But what I really want to talk about, I want to talk about a bunch of things about it, but I am hoping, whatever his sentencing is, that he is put in the general population in prison. And I think most people know where I'm going with this. But in prison, you know, the dregs of humanity, the lowest of lows, they still have a justice system in prison. And you can be in there for drugs, you can be in there for all sorts of stuff. But if you're in prison for child molestation, you are dead. I mean, everyone knows what happened to Jeffrey Dahmer.
He wasn't even in general pop.
Right. And it's pretty suspicious. I mean, he was killed in the shower with a broom handle or broomstick or mopstick, but there's talk that, you know, some of the guards had to allow it to happen. And it really does happen that way in prison. Anyone will tell you. I mean, it's sort of something no one really talks about. There's no studies on it. But we all understand if you're in prison, you know, and you're a child molester, that's why they don't put you in the general pop, because they know pretty much everyone in that prison can agree on the fact that you need to be killed. And I want to talk about that. Again, the number is 323-417-6705. Is this one of those things?
Why do we protect them? That's what I don't get. Why would we protect Jeffrey Dahmer and put him in solitary? Why would we protect Sanduskys and motherfuckers like that? Like, really, why wouldn't we throw them in general pop, even though, you know, they get an easy out in the sense that they're dead? You know, I'd rather them almost be tortured mentally for a while and then raped 1,000 times. But
it's like the death penalty argument. I mean, it's kind of the same. And like a lot of things in this country is that, you know, people, I think, agree on most things across the board. I said that. There's little things they disagree with. And, you know, like abortion and those kinds of things, when you start talking about life and death, obviously that's such a, you know, that's not one of those things that you can be casual about. To say, a lot of people, usually the more progressive, quote-unquote liberal people, have a hard time ever saying anything about the death penalty or pro-death. They're just, it's against their nature. They're, you know, they're always talking about freedom, and, you know, they're called bleeding hearts for a reason. So you have people, like, that are in Texas, like George Bush, who they electrocuted a retarded girl, I remember, one time, that are very pro-death penalty. And they think, you know, don't even ask questions, just do it. And it seems like that's the divide. I think what you have is you have a bunch of more left-leaning, more progressive people saying, you know what, it's not fair to put them in general population. They've been found guilty. It's just bad being in prison your whole life, and that's good enough. We don't need to be barbaric, and they'll use terms like that. But
yeah, because it wasn't barbaric him butt-raping little boys till they had bloody underwear.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if anyone in there is against the death penalty, and more importantly, just to keep it topical, thinks that Sandusky should be protected in prison, and by that we mean not put in the general pop where he's going to be murdered with a broom handle, but, you know, in solitary. And if you think an adequate punishment for him is life in prison, call. Let's call us. Again, 323-417-6705. And there is a new voicemail line, which is 818-659-5137. If you're too afraid to talk to me, which I think is what's happening a lot because I'm so awesome and I never lose, you can call the voicemail and leave your opinion there.
May I interject for a moment?
Yes, please.
Have you guys read about this serial killer or this killer in Norway who I guess shot over or killed, I think it was 70-something people? Have you heard about it?
The one that takes them apart into pieces and mails them to places?
No, that's another guy.
No, he showed up at some sort of retreat. It was sort of like a sleepaway camp for younger people, and he shot over 70 people and killed several of them.
And
apparently he was found guilty, but the maximum sentence such a penalty can get for murder, no matter what the quantity is, 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Per murder or in total? Oh, you said
total.
No matter the quantity. So he's only, the most he can face is 20 years for killing 70 people?
Yep.
Where's this?
It's in Norway.
Oh.
This guy, I think I sent you a link of the guy because he somehow, he was a nut job, but he was obsessed with video games. And I think I gave you some sort of a link regarding his obsession with World of Warcraft.
Oh, yes, I remember this. I mean, obviously, in Norway, it's a little bit different, but it's still the same kind of thing, which is, you know, there is a divide. It's not just in America, but there is a divide on how to handle these kinds of things. And I just, for the record, to throw it out there, I see we have a caller and we're going to go to. I am totally for Sandusky being put in general population and letting, you know, the beasts feast, so to speak. I have no problem saying, if you want to electrocute him, let's electrocute him. You want to shoot him, firing squad, whatever you want to do, I'm all for executing him at this point. I mean, I don't feel good about 70 years in prison, or I mean, he's already 60 or something, so let's say 30, 40 years in prison. I don't think that's adequate punishment. But anyway, Ruth from Florida, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Hi, Jake.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Sure. I totally agree with you about Sandusky. I think he should be put in general population, if not shot.
Why do you think, because I don't want to speak for Jen and Eli, but I have a feeling you guys kind of agree with me as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Why do you think, I mean,
kill.
Eli, I'll ask you, because you're a little bit more right-wing than even I am. You, what do you think it is that people say that they don't want him to be killed? What do you think? Is it protecting life? Or, I mean, in your opinion, what is it? Is it just libtards, as you call them?
I think people, you know, it's a tough question. I mean, if you look at the legal profession, I think there's been a case of a mother drowning her own children, and she gets a life sentence. I forgot who she was. I read something about it. So legally, how could you kill a convicted child molester when previous cases determined that a mother who murdered her own, I think it was three children, she drowned them in a car.
Right.
Because he was in a respectable position. She was had whatever. I think she should die too. But
yeah.
But she had a mental illness, you know, like postpartum depression or whatever it was. She can kind of write it. You know, her doctors can make it where it was insanity that did it. He did it for so many years and lived as a normal person in a, you know, in a respectable position as a leader of this little school for deprived children. I mean, he took full advantage for 10 years. She had a moment, a horrible, awful moment she should die for too. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know if that makes sense. I just think there's some, I really think it is, if we're going to psychoanalyze, I do think there's a large portion of people that think death is wrong, period. And if, you know,
well,
I'm speaking for them,
right,
and they feel that if they okay a death penalty, that it's a slippery slope. And that at that point when they say, oh, this happens, then you know, if you ever talk to someone like that, they'll go, well, what's next? We're going to kill people for stealing candy? You know, they always go crazy right off the bat. And it's like, no, this is somebody who's been convicted of multiple abuse to multiple children. He's already going to prison for the remainder of his life, most likely. I mean, the sentencing hasn't happened. But, again, in prison, it's basically self-correcting. You don't have to worry about those questions. It doesn't even have to be a national debate at this point of whether or not we should give them death and sentencing, which all the people on the left are going to argue. You just put them in general population. That's all I'm saying. And you let it happen naturally because they will kill them. And even Dahmer, in his case, who was solitary confinement, he was still murdered in prison. So they're going to find a way, and I'm hopeful. I'm going to say it. I'm not one of those people. I'm hopeful Sandusky, even if they put him in solitary to try and protect him, I'm hopeful someone will bribe a prison guard or sneak something up and kill him. That's what I'll be rooting for, just so you guys know, just so we're all clear. And I don't have a problem.
I want like a lineup. I want like 20 people lined up, you know, taking turns on him in the shower in particular with his hands up against the wall and let his ass bleed. I'll be pretty descriptive about what I want done to him. I want his ass turned into two pieces.
And I'm with you on that. You know, and I talked about this last week, which got me, almost murdered by the gay mafia. But the truth about Sandusky, here comes the buzzkill. I don't think child predators are born. I think they're made. And by that, I mean someone like Sandusky isn't just born and has a weird chemical in his brain or is a sociopath or something magical and he just wants to have sex with boys. And that's not why I'm asking for him to die, because I think he's just got a bad Frankenstein brain. I think it's fairly obvious that his childhood was marred by a similar thing because this is behavior that is learned. In my opinion, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm sure I'll get some angry callers. But part of me does feel, if that is true, that Sandusky is a victim. Because here's somebody, again, if it's true, as a kid, he was traumatized or molested, which is what happens a lot. Doesn't mean you're molested, you're going to be a molester, but it happens a lot. Even Dr. Drew speaks about this all the time, that if you are abused that way, many people can become abusers. So I think at some point in Sandusky's life, you know, where he was around high school football, the same thing happened to him. And it's sad because this is what I tried to talk about last week or every week, which is everything comes down to the raising of your children and protecting your children. What happens to you in those formative years shapes you for your life. And I don't think someone like this is born. I think they're made. With
that
said,
so do you have sympathy for him? You feel bad for Sandusky?
If it's, again, if my theory is true, let's assume for the sake of argument that he was abused as a child, something horrible happened to him, then, yeah, I have sympathy for anyone that goes through that. And I understand the, you know, life that you're led if you are abused where you can get traumatized and you can go batshit crazy, basically. Again, if that's true, yeah, I have sympathy. With that said, actions are louder than words, and it doesn't excuse it. Now, we say
this to
people.
I have no sympathy for him. I just understand that's how molesters are made. So I feel bad for him when he was 9 years old and he maybe had something happen. But to feel bad for him now, none, zero, nothing.
Well, it's like this weird thing. I mean, it's like when remember Crazy Susan, the crazy lesbian that I fought with on Twitter that called in?
Yeah, she's not crazy.
She's crazy, she's out of her mind crazy. But there was this point where I was arguing with her, like crazy arguing. I was like, this woman's crazy. And then I saw her. She sent me this link, remember, and it was all about the evolution of the human brain. And it just became sad because at that point I had sympathy for her, even though she was calling me horrible names all week and we were fighting. So I remember saying on the air that week before she called in that I have sympathy for her. At this point I don't know what to do because I know that it's not really her thinking clearly and there's pain in there. So, yeah, I'm not sitting here saying I feel sorry for Sandusky. It's just I know how hard it is for anyone that's, you know, let's say you lost a baseball game when you were a kid and it made you sad. And there's a lot of people in their 30s or 40s that haven't even dealt with little things like that. So I can't imagine. I wouldn't know what it's like to be abused sexually. And I, like I said, I know that it twists you up. With that said, again, it's a reason, but it's not an excuse. And, yeah, there is no excuse, especially someone who is victimized. They understand being on the other end of it, and you have a choice. And somebody that chooses to become the victimizer, I don't know that I have sympathy for them at all. And again, even if they're the greatest...
Once they make that choice, you lose the sympathy, thank God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then once you, you know, have sex with a child, I don't care if, you know, mommy didn't love you enough or any of that crap that I always talk about, you know, in defense of these people. Once you do that, once you take it from another kid, the innocence from another kid, once you abuse another kid, or not just kid. I mean, you can rape a grown woman or man. I mean, horrible things can happen. It doesn't just have to be kids. Then there's no help for you. Even at that point, if you get therapy and you cure yourself of it, you've done horrible things, you're never going to forgive yourself. Your life is done. And at that point, I don't understand why any of us feel the need to protect a person like that.
No, I think I told you earlier that I think there should just be a law, not like the three strikes and you get life in prison. Three strikes for sexual abusers. It's got the highest recidivism rate over any other crime. They always repeat, you know, like 90-something percent. So three strikes and you're dead, you know. You the first time you, like, go to prison, second time prison and help, whatever it may be. But the third time, you're not going to stop. They don't stop. When do they ever stop? So why would we keep them alive? They're damaged goods. Kill them.
And that's the craziest part of the Sandusky trial to most people, is that it was pretty obvious that this was going on for some time, and he was protected. He was protected by members of the team at Penn State. I mean, that's the real, true, horrifying thing. You told me that the one guy walked in on him when he was having sex with the kid up against the wall and slammed his locker and then didn't tell anyone for a long time.
Yeah, he told his dad that night, and, you know, he did not report it. He says he reported it, but none of the police, the campus police, all of them, you know, I went and checked through at ESPN, different sites, and it was not reported until just recently. So it went 10 years unreported.
And think about that for a second, everybody listening. You know, we all say, oh man, if I walked in and saw that, I would, you know, do my ninjutsu moves or whatever crazy heroic thing you do. But it's one of those things, you don't really know what you're going to do in the second. I know if I saw it, of course I would tell the police. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not going to do anything, but in that moment, I imagine it's going to be something so horrifying to see that I imagine shock could hit you. I imagine you wouldn't think straight for hours, if not days, seeing something like that and not know how to respond. And the people that protected Sandusky at Penn State and all that, I mean, there's no excuse for it, but at the same time, I don't think it's fair to say that these people were in on it and they're child abusers themselves and they're protecting it like because it's some pedo cult where they just want to have sex with boys, which I've seen people say at times. I think Sandusky was a respected member of the community at the time. Nobody knew. And the people that did see it were just so freaked out by it. They didn't want to believe it. They went numb to it. They ignored it. And I think that's why it happened. I don't think there's a protected football cult. I think I saw it called one time. You know, and now everyone's like, we should stop high school sports and college sports because all the coaches are chimos and they all protect each other. I think that's crazy.
Also,
to talk that way.
Think about the place Happy Valley. I mean, Penn State is known for football, and that's what put Penn State on the map. So
right.
Joe Paterno, who I think he's the highest winning coach ever in college football, is a god there. And
right.
Anyone who's part of his inner circle really runs that city because they put it on the map. They built a stadium because of this program, and that's a lot for a small college town. So, you know, I always think of, like, the bigger picture, going back to capital punishment, is that there hasn't been one wealthy person. I also equate that to power. So there hasn't been one wealthy, powerful person who's ever been executed, ever, in the history of the United States. And that says something. That really says a lot.
It does. And I think, you know, it just takes a little bit of, tiny bit of evil for everybody, you know. Just a little bit of ignoring it or pretending it goes away. And that's, like, that saying that, you know, it's not
and
that people...
And speaking of ignoring it, what about his wife? What a dumb bitch. They were, like, in his basement or something. 10 years of raping little boys, and she had no clue. I mean, just from what I've heard, these little boys couldn't even wear their underwear home because it was saturated in blood, you know?
Oh.
Like,
oh,
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to hear and listen to, but this is what, you know, and her to live in that kind of denial, I don't care if it's, I think Michelle said to me the other day, you know, the stand by your man era for her,
yeah.
And I'm like, who cares? Cop out, stupid whore.
Well, that's the thing, but again, I mean, this can go on forever. A woman that's attracted to a guy like this, that would stay married to a guy like this, I mean, my wife knows everything that I do or think. So I have a hard time believing she wasn't aware of it, and I do think that's denial. And, you know, anybody that's a part of that has to have, you know, issues. A healthy person would see one warning sign and say, look, I don't want to be with this guy. He's inappropriate, even if he's just the tickle monster in the shower, which I saw. Even if he's saying he's not molesting, but he's just tickling boys in the shower. And, like, if my wife came home and I was tickling a boy in the shower and just tickling him, I'd be divorced.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to say.
Gosh.
There's a community, the wife, the Penn State community, all these people, they're all in on it, but I don't think it's directly in on it. I don't think it's, you know, pure evil and a pedo class. I just think it's a little bit of denial, and that's what happens. I mean, this stuff happens all the time, which is, you know, on any subject that we talk about on this show, we're always pushing honesty and talking things out and putting them out on the table and not being denial, because little things like that, you know, harmless denial in your head, the way you justify it. I mean, if somebody would have stood up to Sandusky back in, you know, 20 years ago, that's multiple kids that would be safe now that never would have been perpetrated or punished. And it's that, it's just a little thing of just pretending it doesn't happen, which we all do. If you really think about it in your own life, you do it a million times a day. You see red flags in someone you're dating. Even, you know, obviously we're not talking about kid fucking, but little things we do in our day where we just see it and we go, I'll worry about it tomorrow. That, just doing that can lead to, you know, horrible things depending on things. This stuff goes on in the church. This stuff goes on all over. I mean, we were talking last week about child abuse, and it was something like 3 in 5 girls and 1 in 3 boys are sexually abused in America. This stuff happens all the time, and I guarantee you people know it's happening. I guarantee you people know it's their husbands or wives are doing it, and they just turn, and they pretend it's not happening out of fear. And it's horrible. It's really horrible. So, you know, I don't know where I'm going with that. I think
there was a lot of guilty people in this, and it went on for 15 years. It could have stopped pretty early on, you know, like in 98 when they brought it to law enforcement. One mother did bring her son in, and the DA wouldn't file in 98.
Yep.
So
wow.
That it could have been done, you know, 14 years ago.
And I read his own adoptive son was going to testify against Sandusky.
Yeah,
I think he has 5 adopted boys. I don't know if it's children or boys, but he does have a few boys. And, yes, one was a victim, and he did not take the stand. They were pretty much done with the case by then, I think.
That's terrible. This is
well, he was going to take the stand if Sandusky testified. So.
Oh, gotcha. He was sitting there waiting.
Right. So if he went on the stand, then he would have testified, but because he didn't, his adoptive son didn't.
And not that this makes it worse, but in a way it does. These were all underprivileged kids, his adopted kids as well. But he took advantage of these children who were missing a parent, who were living in a deprived, you know, situation already. And it was just even more victimizing, you know. It wasn't kids with, you know, like my kid who has all this self-esteem and strength and may have not let it happen, you know.
Well, I mean, and that's the point, isn't it? I mean,
because they weren't
people,
like attack on the street rapes. They,
no.
they these were him kind of making them trust him, you know, to where they, not that they let him by any means. Am I saying that? I'm just saying that he, you know, he made it seem like a love affair is how
well,
it was.
What they do. I mean, you hear reports, you know, in the church and wherever else you hear it. This stuff goes on all the time. I mean, it's usually a respect. John Wayne Gacy. I mean, everyone said he was the unofficial mayor of that town. It's like these people. He was a clown for kids. It's weird, but like I was telling somebody when we were talking about this, it's like you got to understand, Sandusky is attracted to little boys. So everything he's going to do is put him in a position to be around little boys where he can work on them day in and day out. So he's not going to be, you know, working at an adult gym. He's going to be around kids. And it's just like I was telling Jen, you know, when I was single and wanted to meet women, I was going to yoga class where the hot chicks were. And I was, you know, I had an hour in class to work it, you know, that's how you think. So a lot of these people, I'm not trying to say all priests and coaches are child molesters by any means, but you have to understand that everyone's always act shocked that it's a respected member of society or it's somebody who's around little kids, but that's the point. That's how they do it. If you ever look on Megan's Law for child molesters, they always move near schools, even when they're out. Go look it up right now. Like, just check the pinholes, and then when you see concentration, zoom in. It's within, you know, 2 or 3 miles of a school. That's, they're predatory. And that's the craziest thing of this all, is that these people in these kinds of positions, you know, they'll spend years working on somebody, months. They have a whole game plan. Look at Michael Jackson. And it is their MO to get trust from little boys or little girls and then threaten them, tell them they're going to tell their parents. It's the study. So what I'm saying with this is there are red flags. There are things that are noticeable. And there's a certain kind of person that's attracted to certain kinds of positions. And you should be extra wary of anybody that's in a position around children. Now, I'm not saying everyone that works with children is a child molester, but I'm okay with extra background checks. If someone wants to be a Boy Scout leader, whatever, I'm okay. You know, I wanted to join the Big Brother program, and you have to do all sorts of background checks. And that's how it should be, because you've got to remember, a predator that's out to have sex with kids is going to be around kids. So, you know, you see one thing, one coach, one story, 1998, and it's a guy. It shouldn't confuse you anymore at this point. We all know the stories. You shouldn't be confused or perplexed that it's somebody who's, you know, respected. That's the point. You should be worried of somebody who's in a position around kids that's respected. You should take
right,
a little extra look.
It has scared men out of the teaching profession, especially in elementary school. You know, that we have one elementary school teacher, and he's kindergarten. And, you know, that throws a lot of people off already. Like, why would he want to work with kindergartners? You know, and he's a Mormon. He has 5 kids. He likes kids. You know, like, he's a daddy type personality.
Right.
But still, it's a question. And then they have to question, you know, there's these little girls and boys in there that come straight up to you and hug you, you know,
right.
And you have to almost push them away. We're not, you know, as a teacher, just in general, I'm sure they meant it more for men, but we're not even supposed to hug or touch the kids at all. And I never followed that rule. I mean, I tried to make it side hugs, you know, so it seemed
appropriate.
But how do you, like, push a kid away when they're trying to get a hug, you know?
It's just such a slippery slope. And I feel weird saying what I just did, because now it's like I'm basically agreeing with all the people I can't stand usually that always look at men as these predators. And, you know, as a man who likes kids and who's got my shit together, you know, I'm not a kid. I don't have sex with children, if anyone's curious. I find that, you know, if someone leaves me in the room with their kid, they're a little bit more weary than they should be. I'm great with kids. I love kids. But, and that's always made me feel a little bit like, you know, screw you. I'm not going to have sex with your kid. But after the Sandusky thing, and I started thinking, it's like, you know what? Again, a predator, they're smart. They're not stupid. And that's what they do for a living. And, you know, I say, you know.
Make money at it?
What's that?
Sorry. I thought you said that predators do it for a living. So I was
thinking, some do. I mean, we can transition now into that bus monitor lady.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the same. Like, when I watched that, you know, I know everyone's like, oh, God, bully talk. I'm not going to get into it too much. But when I watched that video, it's the same thing. I mean, it's not sex abuse, obviously. But those kids, they're predators. I mean, kids are very predatory.
It felt different than bully, for sure.
Even
watching
bullying
it.
Technically is predator and prey. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if you look in the wild or Sandusky, and all this stuff is that, you know, there's a predator and there's a prey, you know, whether you're talking about bullying or child molesting, and that's what it is. And these kids on this bus, which these little kids, they also, I hope they get their ass beat terrible. That video is very hard to watch. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. It's this kind of older, homely lady who's a little chunky, and the kids are sitting there, you know, and they're making her cry, and they're telling her she's ugly, and she's just sitting there. She's a bus monitor, and you can see kind of what I'm talking about there, because had she turned to them and said, you know, stop it, or you know, got in their face, they probably would have stopped. But she just sat there kind of shrinking into herself, and then she said things like, if you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say anything at all, which is just basically like, hey, Mr. Predator, why don't you just beat the crap out of me? I have no self-respect for myself. And you can see the kids getting, you know, a little bit braver and braver, and they push her, and then she's just sitting there crying and wiping her tears. And they're like, why are you crying? And she's like, or no, why are you sweating? And she's like, they're tears. Because she wants sympathy from them. That's her defense at that point. If you watch the tape, she's like, as long as I, you know, let them know how much it hurts, they'll stop. And that's again, if you're talking a predator and prey, that's the last thing you want to do. And, you know, the craziest thing in this video, it is hard to watch. You do feel sorry for this woman. She's raised a shit ton of money. People feel sorry for her. But first of all, when you have predators or little kids that are out to get, you don't show weakness. And if you're that sensitive, you know, it's a wrong video, blah, blah, blah. But if you're that sensitive that you're going to cry from like what a kid says to you and you're an adult, you should not be around kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what some people are saying in the chat room, too. Like, she did not belong in that position. She,
no.
She wasn't a bus monitor. And I don't know if, I mean, I've worked it with junior high kids, and they're pretty awful. I was one.
Right.
But, and it's rough, but I don't, it would not have gotten to that point. I mean, basically, I would have started, you know, whatever you got to do, you could even just pull out a pad of paper and start writing names down. That's enough to fuck with a kid, you know?
True.
You know, and walk up to the bus driver, say a few things in their ear, and walk back. You know, like, I wouldn't sit there and start crying. But you can't do much. What can you do back to kids that age?
Well, now you're going to
really
get me going.
You can't really scream back at them. Yeah, you can't really do much back nowadays, or she would get fired and sued.
Well, that's the point I want to make, because it's always about how I can win an argument. And even if it's an argument that was like 3 months ago that everyone else has forgotten about, I don't forget, okay? This is what I was talking about, because every time, whether you're talking about the dog coning or any of that crap, anytime a kid was acting like a little shit, because kids are assholes, I'm sorry, and people get mad because they're like, my kid's sweet. Your kid, whoever lives in there with kid, your kid's an asshole too, okay? Someone has to tell you. Your kids are assholes. I was a kid, I was an asshole. All of you were kids and you were assholes. That's just the nature of it. When you sit there and slowly take the power away from the teachers and the adults, and you say you're not allowed to discipline and this and that and shaming's wrong, my kids are special, and at the same time you're constantly telling your kid you're okay, that's what happens. That bus, the second I saw that video, because everyone was getting so mad about the bus lady, I watched it and I thought, get up, do something, you know, you find yourself rooting for her. And then you realize, what can she do? We basically handcuffed adults in this country. If she would have got up and gotten the kids' faces, all you parents would be demanding that she got fired. If she grabbed a kid's hand or said something like, stop it, you're stupid, or insulted back, she's an adult, she's supposed to know better. No matter what she would have done, and we can all sit here and theorize what the proper thing to do, the truth is, no matter what she would have done, one of those kids' parents would have sued her, and she would have been fired. I mean, remember Stuart Chavitz with the autistic boy who was throwing chairs at his teacher for a year and a half, and she called him an idiot, and the outrage that was sparked from that? And again, they were on my show. I'm not okay with calling kids idiots. I'm just saying, if someone's throwing chairs at you for a year and a half, if that's all you do in retaliation, I think you deserve a medal, because I don't know how far I would have gone with that. And this bus driver, bus monitor with these kids, it's the same thing. You can't even insult the kid. You can't wrestle the kid down. You can't threaten him in any way. So you can stand up and go, stop it, I'm going to tell your teacher. Well, look at these kids. These kids were huge assholes. Okay, these kids were worse than anything any of us. If you think back when you were a kid and you would have done that, that's probably the most hard thing to watch of that video, is you're thinking, how can these kids keep going? Aren't they worried?
Yeah, it's 10 minutes straight of just...
Yeah. 10 minutes straight. So I'm telling you, kids nowadays, they know they got it easy. They can sit there and make an adult cry, and they know they're not going to get in trouble. They know there's going to be no reaction. They watch the news just like you and I do. They see the teachers get fired for saying, you're an idiot. They know that they're, like, completely protected. It's Lord of the fucking Flies. That's the term I used on one of our Twitter wars when I said Lord of the Flies. This is what I was talking about. Kids are running society now, and kids are assholes. And watch that video for 10 minutes. You'll feel all sorts of things. You'll feel sorry for the bus monitor. You'll feel rage towards the kids. And if you're like me, you'll go, eh, oh, some of you will. I told you so. That's what that video tells me. It tells me that I'm right, and I have been right, and that
you're
people should
right.
stop fighting me. What did you say, Eli?
I said you're always right, Jake. You're Mr. Awesome.
I'm Mr. Awesome. But, I mean...
No wonder you have him as a best friend.
No, but seriously, you tell kids they're special, and everything they do is golden, and then you punish anybody that tries to discipline them. You're giving assholes an incredible amount of power, and you're going to find stories like this pop up more and more now. You know, now we have cell phones so we can capture it, and you're going to see old ladies crying. You're going to see it all the time now. And you're going to wonder, what's wrong with these kids? What did their parents do? They're just normal kids. They just, they know how, you know, when you're a kid, you test it, right? You push boundaries. Well, there's no boundaries anymore.
And I was defiant back then. I'm sure you were too.
What's that?
But I never would have spoken to a grandma that way. I would have been ashamed. There's no way.
Well, you were probably told.
And I don't know if they. Go ahead.
You were probably told to respect your elders, yes?
Yes, and I didn't. You know, I didn't always. But, I mean, in a way that I just rebelled against what I had to do. But I wouldn't have disrespected them and threatened to stab their stomach open and laugh at their fat tears coming down their face. Like, there's no way.
No, we wouldn't even have thought that way as kids. Once you said to the teacher, you know, when I was a kid, if you're like, why are you crying? I mean, I couldn't even fathom saying that to a teacher. I never saw a teacher cry. If a teacher had a moment like that, where she was or he was that sensitive to break down and cry, they would have left the room or they would have held it in and they would have gone home and, you know, punched their cat or something. They never would have cried in front of us because they know. They know you allow a kid making fun of you to break you down. You're an adult and a kid like teasing you is going to make you cry. You know, it's sad. Like I said, I watch it. I feel so sad for that lady because, you know, maybe she's just sensitive and weak, and I feel sorry for her. But at the same time, it's like, don't go on a bus full of kids if you can't handle it.
Tried to laugh it off for a little while. She did try that as a defense, it seemed like.
You can listen to the audio, and at one point she's like, she's wiping the tears off her face. She's like, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Man, God, what you should do is you just give the kids like a boxing glove and go, here, punch me in the face. Put this on and punch me in the face. Because that's what that's saying. You don't have anything nice to think, no. You might as well just bend over and grab your ankles because you're laying down to a child. I hate when people said that. That is the stupidest fucking response you can say, especially when kids now are feeling stronger and their friends are now teaming up and now it's 4 on 5 and nobody's doing anything. No bus driver, no adult's going to do anything because they'll get sued and fired. You're just going to push that limit more and more, and then that's your response? Don't say anything, It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And again,
well, I don't think she'll have to be a bus monitor again. So
no, she's got some money, which really
like
I already called my.
Half a million. I want to get abused on a bus, to be honest, for my belly, because half a million.
I already called my buddy, who's like 82 years old, and we've already worked this whole thing out. She's gonna go on like a RTD. And I'll probably get one of my nephews, like Ethan, to go just call her horrible names, and then she'll cry, and then we'll get some money.
get your little Buster to videotape it.
Yeah. No, you know what's really sad? We joke. I bet you someone out there is thinking that. Like, man, she made so much money. I'm going
to
try.
It only happens once, just like the McDonald's coffee. You know,
exactly.
Like you have to be the one it happens to.
Yeah, you don't want to be the second person like that goes and pours boiling hot coffee in your crotch and then finding out, no, there's a precedent set for that.
Yeah,
not,
see the caution hot we've added to that? We added caution hot.
Why don't we, you know, I know I'm all over the place, but I'm so mad. You know, there's this debate about tax dollars and politics and government pork and all this crap. When universal health care and people freak out, why don't we just, you know, let's just take that amount of money we spend and a portion of defense is just that wasted money and just invest into a giant fund to give people therapy. These kids on the bus, the woman, Sandusky, when he was a boy, these boys, like, why? But therapy should be, this is my next thing, sorry, we have 10 minutes left, so I'm going to finish it. Therapy, in my opinion, should be free. And it should be covered. And I'll tell you, that's Eli, the right-wing nut job on the sound effects. Because, and I'm not
so
saying
all
health care.
Sandusky, he's disagreeing with all these boys of Sandusky shouldn't get free therapy.
Well, again, therapy is expensive, okay? So it's not one of those things where, shut up, Eli, you know, you hear clinics and you can go, there's really no access for anybody that's been, like, think about these Sandusky boys, okay, that were raped. And they didn't want to tell their parents. Think if they had access and they knew you could go talk to somebody who's trained to deal with this kind of thing, and they legally won't tell anyone. You don't even, if you're embarrassed, your parents don't have to find out. Your instructors don't have to find out. None of your friends have to find out. There's a safe place where you can talk, which is what sanctuary used to be, or confessions in church. I mean, these things have been around for a while. There's a reason for them. But, you know, we know a lot more about emotions now, and there's some good therapists out there that are trained that really can deal with this kind of thing. And, more importantly, look at Sandusky. Had there been someone when he was a kid going through this that was there, it could have prevented, you know, 40 rapes. And Eli's going to sit there and buzz because it's, you know, the evil Democrats want to put tax dollars. But why is this not approved right now? Why is it not accessible to children to have somebody to talk to, a professional? Because you know how much it costs to go to therapy?
They have to pay for him to live in prison for 400 years.
Well, I mean, a therapist, even when the grades on that let you pay on a scale, they're like, you know, $40 an hour. And if you have something like that, you need, you know, minimum 3 to 4 times a week. You need at least 3-4 hours a week. No kid's going to be able to pay for that, especially these inner-city kids that Sandusky was, you know, preying upon. They don't have anywhere to go. And the act of rape is bad enough, but then you're going to shield these people in a closet and not give them anyone to talk to? They're going to have to deal with shame and holding a secret? That's just ridiculous. I don't understand. So what I want to see come out of this case is, at least, you know, with my 17 followers, I think we can start it. There should start to be a little bit of a movement. And I'm not, you know, Eli, for my Republican friends out there that are crazy about this stuff, I'm not saying add to any taxes. We'll cut out the studies for shrimp having sex that I saw was in one of the things. Cut away the fat, cut down the spending, and then use that money wisely and just have therapists ready to go for kids and adults. I think it would be amazing, because if I've learned one thing, since I'm never wrong.
Where's the buzzer?
Kids, yeah, I think Eli shot himself. Kids that have trauma or abuse grow up to be assholes. We talked about it last week. So why not talk about it? That's the only thing that really can help you if you think about it. I mean, everyone always talks about whether or not Sandusky should fry, and that's not really going to make these kids feel better. Maybe a little bit, whether he dies or not. It's not going to really, really help them. They need intense therapy. Anyone will tell you this, but they can't afford it. And therapists make good money. They go to school for a long time, and they charge up the ass because they want to make a living. So, anyway.
Yeah, look how long they kept it a secret. I mean, 15 years.
Well, imagine if they went to a therapist then, you know, a week later. Because a lot of the reasons with people that are abused, they don't talk because, you know, obviously there are all sorts of stuff going on in there. But one of the main things is they're ashamed. And they know if they go to their parents that the parents are obviously going to go to the police. And then,
well, Sandusky was smart, obviously, and he brainwashed them, telling them no one would believe him. A person of his stature, no one's going to believe them. So
right.
You better not tell anyone. They'll think you're lying.
Right.
So he told that to each of his victims, supposedly. So
of course. They're predator and prey, and they're kids. And you can twist a kid's mind when you're an adult. You know how the mind works. You know, you're a predator. You're thinking this stuff out. It's psycho. Crazy.
Did you see that, I know this changes the subject too, but did you see that Texas dad, he will not face charges. They
oh, good.
They're not going to file. The one that he walked in on his daughter getting raped by some man in the neighborhood and punched him literally in the face to death right then. And they were going to try to charge
him
for homicide. I mean, it's the best story I've ever heard, except for the fact she was raped. But, to finally, someone sits there and just gets to punch the damn rapist to death before he even goes to trial, because he would have had just a few years.
Wow, winning.
And don't you think, you know, honestly, don't you think every time some creepo predator hears in the news about a dad or a brother that just walked in and killed him, and gets away with it, don't you think that makes him think twice about doing it again?
Definitely. And if he had to go to trial for homicide because of it, I mean, what would that tell the rapist, that they're protected? You know, why protect the rapist?
I don't know. It's the same as, like, you know, protecting the kid who's being an asshole over a teacher who's being professional. It's that same kind of thing. I don't know what it is. I'm going to get to the bottom of it on one of these shows, maybe next week, because there's a psychological element here to the progressive, as I call them, or the wuss, or pussmerica, anything I want to call it, the liberal, the puss. There's this weird part of them where it's like, it's barbaric to talk about these things. It's wrong that this dad killed the rapist that was raping his daughter. He should have maybe talked about his feelings more. Maybe they could have got a little Barbie doll and talked about how it made him feel. And they do that shit. They really do, and it's crazy.
Well, one of the people literally said, you cannot execute him, even though I can understand the anger he would have. You can't just execute somebody. And I'm thinking, one, you don't understand the anger he had. You walk in on your 4 or 5-year-old daughter getting raped by a man.
Right.
And two, I mean, there's no control at some point. We are human animals. And our brain just, I think, goes crazy when you see things that you need to protect. So
that's because I think it's supposed to. I think that moment, it's not a momentary lapse of judgment. It may be actually the one time where you're thinking clearly. And when you see something like that and you go into the kill mode, who's to say that's wrong? Honestly, why put a judgment on those kinds of moments? You don't know. You haven't. None of us know what that's like to walk in on someone we care about. I mean, you saw people freaked out with a kid being had a dog comb put on him when he was laughing. This is rape. And who are we to sit there and go, oh, they handled it wrong, and they should have done this. Who the fuck are you? You don't know how anyone should have handled it. I look at it and go, you know what? You saw your daughter getting raped. You punched the guy's face in so much you killed him. Great. Makes total sense. That, to me, seems like a clear way to think. I don't think that there should be any sort of negative judgment on that. This is someone perpetrating someone you care about. It's a predatory prey. And they're going to do it again. And I'll tell you, the best part of that story, the guy that got his face punched into death, which is just awesome to say.
Awesome.
There's a girl somewhere right now in an alternate dimension that was going to get raped by him. Because it's not his last, or it's not his first. This is a predator. This is someone that does this forever. So now, in this alternate dimension where this guy gets away, there's a girl, could be your daughter, could be your sister, who he's going to find. And now that his face is punched into death, it's not going to happen to her. So if you're going to sit here and talk about right way to handle thing, and we should talk about our feelings and hug it out, or like that bus driver sitting there like, if you don't have anything nice to say, all that kind of wussiness, stop it. Because it's moments like this, when you hear of a story of a guy punching someone's face to death, you think, if you're a predator, you think, I don't want to stumble on that guy's house. Just like a teacher that stands up in a bus driver, yells at those kids and gets in their face, they're not going to mess with that bus driver. I mean, the story goes on and on. Sandusky, those boys, if those boys' parents were, you know, saw it happening ahead of time, and they said, you're not going to Sandusky's house, he's a creeper. If anyone would stand up to it, a lot of people wouldn't be getting damaged and raped and molested. There's nothing wrong with calling it out. There really isn't. So, anyway, we have 3 minutes left. I'm getting hot on this.
I also feel like people are just so afraid of getting sued. I mean, there's like, I read a story of a mother who was in her home, and I forgot exactly where it was, but she called the cops in advance before the intruder entered her house to do whatever. She called them in advance asking them, can I shoot him? And the cop on the other line basically said, well, I can't answer that question.
Right.
'Cause the cop didn't even want to get in trouble from basically telling the woman, shoot the guy.
Right. Because meanwhile, he's in the house.
The department could be sued, and the woman could lose her job. So there's this tendency to sort of cover all in a situation like that is to first think about, am I going to get in trouble for defending myself from using a weapon from an intruder entering my private property? And this is the mentality today.
My first instinct is shoot him in the face, and then when the police come, I say, I thought he had a gun. There you go.
I actually keep a second gun in my house that I've wiped the prints off. And I would just, after I shoot him, I would just put that in their hand. That's what my teacher was.
Nice.
Fire a couple of rounds with the glove on. I've seen enough CSI. That's the cool thing about those shows, I got to say. All those shows, they teach you how to get away with murder if you watch them properly.
They really do. Criminal Minds is, wow, that's serial killing.
But again, you know, this, you know, something to think about next week before we do next. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I will not be doing a radio show next week. You have a week off from me next week, and I'll be out of town for my birthday. My birthday's on the 30th. So you have 2 weeks to stew about me talking about shooting people in the face. And again, Mike, if I could get that voicemail number again, I'd like to read it. Because you can call and leave me a message on voicemail, and we'll probably play it on the air, or at least I'll respond to it on the air if you have anything you want to say. Mike will give me that number in a second. So I won't be here next week.
But Unscripted Radio is all week long, Monday through Friday, 6
nice.
To 7.
Way
with
to take
Karen,
that
from me. Katrina, Jeffrey, and the original Mike J.
Making me look like a dick. I was getting there.
Yeah.
You know, this show, for those of you who do listen to this and don't listen during the week, it's the same show. Unscripted is Monday through Saturday. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7, and then I do the Saturday show. But I highly recommend listening to those crazy people, especially, you know, I love Jeffrey, who, if only I could have read his texts about the pregnant man before we went on air last week, we would have had a whole different kind of show. That guy, you thought I was bad. You should have seen what he said. So the number for voicemail is 818-659-5137. I think I'm going to wrap it up. My wife's home. I'm tired. All this butt rape and punching people in the face has made me.
You need a kitty nap.
I need to go kiss my wife and just say thank Christ that none of this stuff has ever happened to me or you, and we have a pretty damn good life. Thank God for that. Ugh. Okay. thanks for the rim shot. Not our best show. I apologize. But
you.
And also, let's give a little bit of let's relinquish a little bit of power. We got 13 seconds left. I'm going to play some music here. Let's relinquish a little bit of power back to the teachers and the bus drivers and the bus monitors. That if a kid's acting like a little shit, we should all say, you know what, do what you got to do. No more lawsuits, no more freakouts, because you saw what happened to that bus. That's what happens when you give kids all the power. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you later.